This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
And here on Warden's Watch today, we have Steve Bellatran from International Game Warden Magazine, who writes the Timber Tech articles in that magazine. And we also have Eric Ritchie of Sovereign Sportsman Solution. And we're talking technology today. So it's pretty cool to have both of you guys. And thank you, Eric, for joining us. Eric's on his way to Africa, correct?
That's correct. I'm not being booked. It looks like I'm being booked in somewhere, but I'm not.
It does. That video is for sure. And seeing this is your last call, that's not pretty good. You know, you only get one call. So.
I'm in an airport. Yeah.
Okay, so we've verified that. So we're good, man. We're good. So and talking about technology, using technology is pretty awesome. Just, you know, the Zoom connection, being able to talk to you in Atlanta, and here we are in Nashville, sitting here and discussing technology and using the technology that, frankly, I hate to say it, COVID improved vastly.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I was trying to do this Zoom meetings before COVID and explaining using cameras and audio and stuff to people. It was like a 45-minute discussion before I could even bring them up. Now everybody's on board. Boom, 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 boom. Now I got to work with lighting because we look dark, I'm sure. So that's the next thing.
Yeah.
So
great. Next year.
In the discussion, Eric, with technology, and that's your Sovereign Sportsman Solution is pretty much technology driven, correct?
It is. We are purely a technology company that's focused on building the large fish and wildlife licensing and conservation platforms for fish and wildlife agencies all over North America, including the U.S. and Canada. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot of data, isn't it?
Amazing.
It is I think they classify it as a butt ton of data.
A butt ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
A butt ton of data.
A little bit more than a terabyte.
He's the technical guy. Yeah, yeah. I like him.
Yeah, the butt ton. Yeah.
I can boil it down if I need to.
Yeah. Wayne. And you guys are servicing like 13 states currently?
Yeah. We just signed our 21st contract in North America this past year. And, we started in fish and wildlife, you know, game licenses, hunt fish licensing and things like that. But we've expanded significantly over the years into a lot of other areas like recreational vehicle licensing and permitting and titling and, you know, snowmobile trail passes and, you know, burn permit systems for forest and lands management organizations. So, yeah, a lot. If it has to do with the outdoors and you have to have a document to legally allow you to do some things in the outdoors, then we're probably behind some of that.
Wow. That's great. And one thing I found out is sometimes a lot of people don't know you're behind that. So like officers in the field don't know, you know, S3 is behind what they're using in the field. And that's one thing I want to bring to light.
Yeah, absolutely. We're probably the largest, most unknown tech company in the industry because when we build these systems, they're typically for state government agencies. And and we build them and brand them to take on the persona of the state agency, because it really is their system. We build them and administer them and implement them and host them and all those things, but it is really a state government platform. And so, yeah, we're okay with being in the background.
Yeah, you're the behind the scenes
kind of tech,
which is really important. But I think it's also important for the officers to know what's behind, you know, their licensing agency, because I think that's great that we think it's, you know, all one of that, whether it's New Hampshire, Ohio, or Mississippi or something, but knowing what's behind that, because it's the backbone. Let's face it.
Yeah, it really is. It's such a massive part of critical infrastructure for state governments in North America. I mean, in a lot of the states, about a third of the states in the U.S., I think that it is one of the top two most, you know, profit centers, biggest profit centers for state agencies, and one of the biggest drivers behind most conservation programs at the state level. So we're super proud to be, even if we're behind the green curtain, we're super, super proud to be there.
Yeah. And Steve, I mean, with your technology background, how these platforms, what has that brought to the officers in the field?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's important that an officer has up to date information when he's out in the field. And the mobile platform is another great place for officers to get information. The nice part about it is that a lot of these companies have come up and said, hey, you know, this is a great resource base that we could, you know, build a platform for and then integrate that into the different agencies for them to use. So years ago when we had paper licenses and a guy can walk in a store and buy something, maybe have some date change or something, all that stuff's gone now with the technology and the modernization of the mobile platform and the computers that we have in the car and stuff. It's just a great way to feed in that information to the modern officer. Connectivity issues for some guys in those super remote areas is a small issue, but for the most part, everybody's getting well serviced by companies that are doing this great work, you know. So from the law enforcement standpoint, it's nice to see that we have the good tools that have generally been reserved for the state troopers and stuff, you know, that type of stuff. Yep. But I could see that helping our local officers, and then obviously with the international game warden aspect of things and stuff, a lot of different agencies picking up on that type of stuff. So we love to have it, and we love to work with, you know, with those companies and stuff to let them know, you know, this is what we need, this is the resource base that we need, and why, and then also sharing that those remote area requests and stuff that we have, you know, to get that information. So it's nice to have it in your hand and get that information real time.
Right. You know what I like about this, Eric, is you're so specific. So you had a hunting and fishing background before the technology to bring this to it, because that's, you know, you just don't pick that. You got a passion for it.
Yeah, so I'm a Montana kid, so I grew up on a large Black Angus cattle ranch in Montana, and it's had some of the best hunting and fishing. I grew up really kind of taking it for granted that everybody had access to natural resources like that, and it wasn't until I got a little older in high school and college that I knew that that wasn't exactly the case. So I actually went to college and ended up, you know, getting into the technology industry in kind of a weird way through the horse racing industry. So back in the late 80s, I helped a family business actually automate the parimutuel wagering industry in horse racing. And that started me on a path for kind of bleeding edge research and development companies that I began to start and build around telecommunications hardware and software, and built a, you know, a long career doing that. And that led to getting into a lot of technology business recovery stuff that I did for about 8 years with private equity firms around the United States. And that led me to the opportunity to take over a failing tech company in 2006 that did all of this stuff in Nashville. And one of the last big projects that I did leading up to taking over that company in Nashville is I integrated some decommissioned military telecom technology to build a rapidly deployable video surveillance solution for the LA SWAT team. And, you know, I grew up in a big military family, and law enforcement has always been super, super close to my heart, and dedicated a portion of my career to finding out ways to enable officers to get data and to get intel in real-time fashion. And so when I got into this industry back in 2006, when I took that business over, one of the first things that I looked at was the conservation officer tech. And at that point in 2006, there really wasn't any. I mean, I jokingly say it was like equipping our officers with a purple crayon and a big cheap riding pad, you know, out in the field, especially if they're 3 miles away from their truck or whatever. So I went into full R&D mode in 2007 And we developed the first ever enforcement mobile solution based on a Motorola MC70 device and taking advantage of nightly downloads to that device of licensing data from the platforms. And that's where it all kicked off.
So
this avails me to scratch a lot of itches. And I love law enforcement. I love tech. And most importantly, I love giving tech to law enforcement. And so it's just been a really cool kind of white landscape, a white canvas for us from a tech standpoint. And we really pride ourselves as innovators at Sovereign Sportsman Solutions. And I get to go out every day and scratch tech itches that make sense. And this is definitely one of them for sure.
Wow. I know. I think we appreciate it. I'm like just what Steve was saying, everything is at our fingertips now where we need it, because sometimes even the radios didn't work, and then the dispatchers are looking it up, and sometimes that gets frustrating because you get lost in the communication. So, or they're busy and you don't dare run a fishing license or a hunting license because they're busy. So having a handheld operation, it doesn't get any better.
It's interesting because there is such a heavy need for that, right? And so when it comes down to conservation, technology and law enforcement, we always seem to kind of take a back seat to the technology that's being pushed to your major agencies, LAPD, your Chicago PD, your state and federal agencies. And we have a unique need, and we have a unique user base as well.
Mm.
And then, you know, that database and those tools and stuff are important, because we could start working on solving cases based upon, you know, aggregate data of which, you know, where these people have harvested animals, where they're going, and, you know, we could do comparative databases for addresses, for licensing fraud, and different types of things that are out there. So the neat part about it is that you have a unique company out there that has this innovation to say, hey, you know, I love the outdoors, I love technology, and I love law enforcement. And that, you know, that triangle right there is such a benefit to local game wardens today from the technical aspect. Because we need that, right? Mm. And so we do get a lot of geeks out there, myself being one of them, you know, that love computers and stuff.
Proud.
And
yeah. I can see you guys are going to get along just fine.
Yeah. like I'm excited. This guy's talking, you know, about things and stuff. And but you have that, and then you have the outdoor guy that loves it, right? But a lot of those outdoor guys, they just don't share that passion for the technical base. And then you have law enforcement, right? So you know, you have the three of those people to kind of wrap them all into one and know that there's a finished product out there that can work is really, I mean, that's the key thing that you're looking for. I love what you're doing. As far as things go, it's a well-needed industry. It's great for the officers today, because before it was just all, like you said, you know, a big old purple crayon and a piece of paper. So trying to get through a lot of that stuff. But it's nice to see all that stuff come together. It really is.
Yeah. And as the non-techie game warden, I think it's important to me where you came from, Eric. That's where your roots are, the hunting, the fishing, the background, the outdoors. A lot of tech companies don't have that, nor do they care.
True.
Yeah.
It's true. I tell people, and we've built our company is really a family of like-minded people. And you know, there's a lot of our employees have been with us for, you know, 6, 7, 8, more than 10 years, some of them. And so I feel that it's just a really honorable, the ability for us to be able to bring, you know, innovation to a part of the industry that has been so innovation light for so long, and provide things that that really the intent of those projects and those products are intended to first and foremost keep the officers safe in the field, but then give them access to data that allows them to do their job in the field without having to retreat back to their squad car, their truck, or, you know, to a main office to get the information that they need. And so, you know, the big nut that we're cracking over the last couple of years has been the offline capabilities. The province of Ontario, one of our clients, about 85% of all the hunting and fishing that happens in the province of Ontario is above the medial line of that province, and there's no cell communications in that area at all. Mm-hmm. And so we had to go back to the drawing board and come up with some really innovative ways to enable officers to access data. And what we did is we began to leverage QR codes and embed all of the licensing data for those customers in the QR code, an encrypted QR code that was then printed on the actual license itself.
Wow.
And then built the law enforcement app that would allow it to be decrypted in the field, so they could do it in a complete offline capacity. And it was a game changer for the province. I mean, the enforcement officer had never had that level of direct access in that way. So that we're super proud of some of these things for sure.
Yeah, you should be. Did you know anything about that, Steve?
No, but it's amazing, because as an end user, you know, you're out there and you do, you feel helpless without your technical back end. Everybody's used to going, oh, hang on a second, let me look that up. And, you know, what is the size limit here or there or whatever? And the offline capacity, I know for me, when I go in those remote areas, even just say Google Maps, right? I got to download my offline capacity. Mm-hmm. So that integration aspect and stuff is just another tool for you while you're out in the field. The encryption aspect, obviously, you know, well above board and stuff with governments requiring, you know, high security level types of stuff. What a neat tool for them to be out there and just bingo, pop that out. Also, I would imagine that a lot of that data then can get, you know, aggregate back into the phone and sit, you know, sit and wait until a signal comes back in and then go back in and tie into a database, you know. So it's given, given your managers, it's given your department, it's given, you know, all that data exchange is valuable, right? It's saying that the officer's doing his job, he's out there checking, and then it, you know, feeds back in that respect later on. And maybe a hit later on to say, hey, you know, this guy was checked a couple of years ago, you know, through a direct scan, a direct QR code scan. So kind of neat stuff. Definitely geeky, probably a lot more powerful than what the local warden knows, you know, but like, I'm excited just to hear about it, you know, so that's good stuff.
No,
it's my intent to arm all the geeks in the country. They're wired like this.
So. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Oh, QR codes are so cool because, like, I think we did my Operation Game Thief trailer in 2010, and a techie kid I was working with said, all you got to do a QR code because that's what the world's going to be in the future. Well, he didn't tell me it was going to be, like, 2022 before people started using QR codes. But so I put it on that OGT trailer, and then I had an international group from China that actually I got to work with through the State Department, which was a pretty cool program. I brought them, and I had my OGT trailer, and they were looking at all the animals and stuff, and I was, you know, through the interpreter talking about poaching in America and things like that. They get to the back, they see our QR code, and it was like they all start talking in Chinese, and I am like, what is the big deal here to the interpreter? And she is like, QR codes is one of the first ones I've seen in the United States, and in China, everything is a QR code. She's like, beggars on the street hold the QR code and you scan to, because it's a digital economy. And I just, that was the first time I've ever seen a big deal over what I perceive to be nothing. Today, we see QR codes and being used more and more and more. Still not to the extent they're done overseas, but very, very interesting.
Well, Wayne, you were QR code before QR code was cool then.
Yeah. I used to get more questions. Epic. What's that squiggly thing on the trailer? And, you know, I just shook my head. I'm like, I don't know why I did that thing. But now today they can scan that. It goes right to where to report in New Hampshire for Operation Game Thief. So, and I think in the future, you know, my cards for Warden's Watch are going to be at a QR code on the back so you can scan those. You know, I think our licenses, you know, should have a QR code where to produce, you know, a poaching, you know, report a poacher. Here's a QR code. And it just saves that extra link of looking. It makes simpler for simple people like me.
Yeah. So. And listen, the space is wide open. We're playing around with some really cool uses of RFID stuff right now for coastal fishing vessels and a whole bunch of, you know, stuff like that where a law enforcement vessel can come up next, and once they get within 40 yards of a vessel, they can RFID every single boat license and captain information, everything from that boat without actually even boarding it. And so, that's the stuff that I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just go nuts, you know, over stuff like that. I just love it.
Do you do that too, Steve? Wake up at 3 a.m. and think of this geek stuff?
Actually, I'm not going to sleep tonight. You know, it sounds weird, but, you know, when you start to wrap around your head around all the technical, you know, aspect that's out there, and especially for your fish and game agencies that really haven't been able to tap into a lot of that resource, it is amazing because imagine, part of your licensing agreement on there, people buy their fishing license. I come here to Tennessee. I've got my license digitally on my phone, you know. And for a guy to be cruising by and to say, oh, I know that this person's properly licensed, or look at this, of these 200 fishermen, these guys don't have trout stamps, or they don't have this coastal license or whatever. And so it kind of gives you that reasonable suspicion to kind of move in there and have a closer look. So the technology aspect of it is a great benefit.
You know what the other benefit, Eric, is to what you're doing is I don't have to board that vessel and look at their three-ring binder in 10-foot seas, and I'm ready to puke my guts out thinking, you know, figuring out if they have the proper stuff. And it's always a mess, and you can't find one permit that you're looking for and you're to scan that. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, and then take it a step further. Then you start having, like I do, having ideas about how you automate the catch record cards for those vessels. You know, how you can automate the Gulf shrimping operations in the, off the coast of Louisiana by having all that available information, RFID'd, and even to automate the process of going dock to table for Gulf shrimp operations and you know Maui, you know, mahi-mahi and all that kind of, I mean, it's just endless. If you just have the mindset to think, one, that tech and the outdoors are not do not need to be exclusive one from the other, and you start saying there's so many applications of existing technology out there that can benefit the outdoor industry, then it cracks open a whole new world of options for us to consider. And we're, you know, we expend a significant amount of our R&D, I think more than, last I checked, more than any other vendor in the space, on an annual basis, to just look and discover and investigate and mock up and prototype, you know, stuff like this that we think is really going to move the dial 2 or 3 years from now. Yeah, it's exciting for sure.
Yeah. You know, these investigative tools too, I mean, when you have this, obviously this is a service you're providing to the state and the public and everything, but when you start to have that aggregate data, and we're finding officers today utilizing that data that's out there just through, you know, through comparative analysis, through different states or provinces and stuff, where they could grab a couple of different databases and start to look and say, well, you know, he's claiming residency here or claiming residency there. And another thing you talk about with this electronic, you know, the RFID and that, I always imagine the guy that pulls out a wallet that's this thick, right? You know, and so he starts thumbing it open. And any game warden will attest to this, you know. And so it's like, I'm looking, I'm like, I see 09. I'm like, it's 13 years old. Get rid of that license, you know, and it's for some other state or so. Oh, yeah, I went to, you know, fishing out here in Nebraska, you know. I'm like, okay, I just need something with a 22 on it. And once I see the 22, then, you know, then we can start dicing through the different states you have there and everything. But, those days, I mean, I usually give them a 10-minute time limit, right? But so now I'm going to pop up. I'm going to have this right here. And I'll just bing, bing, you know, so I'll get a quick notification. Hey, everything's good to go out on that vessel. So what a great concept moving forward with that. That's pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I know.
It's fun for sure.
Yeah.
And another area, not, you guys are probably very familiar with this, the whole industry is really operated off of a database of violation data, you know, for 20 years, that's outdated and hard to access and all that, the violator's compact information. And so we're now in a position where we have so many, our growing list of state agency clients, both here in the U.S., that there's absolutely no reason whatsoever why all of that revocation and violation data should not be available in real time, both directions. We ought to have a standardized way to get data in to a common database here in the U.S. that is able to be parsed and utilized in a way where it makes sense, and have real-time access for state agencies to pull that data out. And it's not rocket science. It's just time and effort and the ability for a lot of states to get together and say, hey, we're tired of accessing six-month-old data from the violators compact. We want data real-time, and then we all work together to put it in. So that's a little bit longer initiative, but it's definitely on our radar of something we're putting a lot of manpower behind right now as well.
Yeah. So much of a needed situation, because I know a lot of states still do that you call it by hand, but they physically go through and sort that data by hand and then check, add this, add that. I know my major, and we're a teeny, teeny state, hates going through that and doing that stuff to add that stuff. So to automate that would be a time saver, once again, a headache, you know, it'd be better than aspirin.
Well, I mean, you know, to collectively bring all that data together is a key part too, because, yeah, I mean, you know, each state has their own infrastructure, and this state may put it out in a PDF format. They're this, you know, they may have it in an old Access database, or heck, it might be on an Excel spreadsheet or something. And to have a centralized point to just come in and get that aggregate data, strip out those fields, put them in a collective way to where you could say, yeah, this person's trying to buy a license in this state, and it's showing up a revocation aspect in another state for a reason. So that type of real-time stuff is long overdue, and that wildlife compact, what is it, 46 states, I think, that are in that?
I think every state but one.
Oh,
I think
49
we're
now.
49, okay. Yeah. I think we're almost to that point.
Yeah.
So I think Massachusetts is the last holdout, and there's currently legislation in there that may pass.
Okay. All right. Well, once we get them on board, it'd be nice to have a central location for that. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite a feat to have that many states involved
in
something.
And it's so hard. it's still hard. Technically, it's still that, even that process of the violator's compact is the tech is 20 years old. It's being utilized for that. So it's great to have all these states on, but if it's still a technically unusable or invaluable or a not valuable repository of data when you need that information, then there may as well be one state connected to it. And so, you know, for it to really have the amount of impact that we need it to have in the industry, everybody's got to be a part of it, and we got to find ways to get data into it quickly and out of it quickly so that we can use that and identify those violators at the point of sale or at the point of communication with them, and not 4 months later and then spend the next year and a half trying to track them down.
Right.
So achievable.
The sky's the limit. Once you get the right company to wrap their head around what it is that we need, and knowing that it's attainable, and then, you know, fighting through all those different government regulations as well too, right? So it's just not a poor FOIA request to just say, hey, you know, send me all the guys that are, you know, that have been naughty, you know. And then to have that put into a place, it's valuable information for sure.
Yeah, it's a little complex too, because we're still figuring out, you know, a violation in one state doesn't automatically translate to the same restrictions in another state.
So you're on,
you know,
it.
If you get busted poaching deer in one state, that state may prevent you from hunting for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. Other states, they take everything away from you. You don't have any, you know, hunting or fishing access, but it changes. But there's ways to get around that through translation tables and different things that we can do technically to make that all available. So that's definitely on our list of things that we're tackling now, and hopefully we'll be able to make some good inroads into that in the future.
Sounds very technical to me.
Oh, I'm excited about it. You know,
like, translation codes.
Yeah,
isn't it wonderful, Wayne?
Yeah.
I'm glad I have both of you on at the same time, to be honest with you. Because
Wayne, just go ahead and take a break.
I can see that. Yeah, so. Yeah, but I got to explain it to the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
I got to explain it to all the other wardens too, Steve. So yeah. I think I need to be in a conversation.
Okay. Let's go off on a sidebar here. Yeah.
Oh, well, I really appreciate you, Erica, taking your time out on travel and everything and joining us. Anything you want to say, wrap it up? I mean, you've sponsored the Warden's Watch podcast here at the North American Wildlife Enforcement Officers. Let's change that name, man. I'm sorry.
I know. It's a mouthful. We're game wardens, right?
You know, we're game wardens.
We've got a game warden conference here.
The game warden conference. That's exactly right. So we can interpret that. So, but really appreciate it. But anything you want to tell us, whether it's about, you know, Sovereign Sportsman Solutions or whatever, because we've had a really, really informative, for me too, podcast, and I'm so happy that we were able to connect.
I am too, man. I'm so apologetic that I couldn't be there in person. I know that was the intent, and so I really do apologize for that, but this is, I'm glad that we could pull this together.
Yeah.
I mean, we're big fans, Wayne, as you know, Curtis and I and the rest of the gang at S3, we love what you're doing. We want to be a part of it. We're hoping that this is the first of many sponsorships and many different things that we can do to help get the word out about what you guys need and what's not there and how we can play a hand in making it a safer place for you guys to operate out in the field. Both Curtis and I have cell phone numbers, and so
I do.
You know, stuff comes up, man, just call. We're in.
I know where you live too, but man, you're never there.
That's right. Well, I got to keep moving.
It's in an airport. Yeah.
Thanks, Eric. It was a really fun podcast, and having Steve here to interpret everything was even better on the game warden front for sure.
Yeah,
it sounds
awesome.
Like there's great things
Steve,
ahead.
Look forward to meeting you in person at some point here soon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Just on a quick side note, you know, I write this thing for IGW Magazine. It's called Timber Tech, and the reason why is because we have people like you and I, and I consider us, you know, the geeks, right? And then we have the rest of the folks, the muddy boot guys, you know, who are out there and they're doing God's work for natural resources, but they just don't sometimes can't bridge that technical gap, right? And so I just put together a few little things that say, hey, you know what, here it is. It's as simple as this. And you could do it, you know, young and old. We're multi-generational. We've got game wardens that are in their 60s. We got game wardens that are in their early 20s. And even though there's a good, strong technical base for a lot of people, just to know, okay, that it's attainable. So the technology's out there. and they want to go out and they want to count ducks and they want to go out there and watch guys in binoculars. But let's do that with thermal, or let's do that with this, or let's do it with a big back end of technical data, you know, at the end of your phone. You know, it's nice to know that there's good companies out there that are pushing those tools for us to use. And I'm just kind of like the layman that grabs guys and says, hey, come on, sit down. I'll show you how to do it. Let's go ahead and integrate what this great, great technical back end can give to you. And then they realize, wow, this is amazing. I could write an extra ticket, or I could do this, or I could compare something. And it's another investigative tool. So that's what I do.
And we love, hey, listen, man, we love getting dirty too. So, you know, we do a lot of ride alongs and we don't just guess at what we think people need out in the field. I mean, we'd like to go, like when I was doing that project for the LA SWAT team, I went out and lived with the SWAT team for a couple months and deployed that system on live SWAT engagements. Mm-hmm. And in order to find out exactly how those things needed to be deployed. And we take the same approach to that in the industry. We don't just build tech that we think is going to be valuable. We want to take the tech in the field with you guys, you know, figure out what is actually the most valuable thing that we can be doing technically for you guys. Right. So we get it right the first time. So any opportunities like that, man, I'm totally in. Just ring me up.
Yeah. And, you know, it's good too to know what the end user is looking for, right? I mean, so, you know, we know that we can provide to the sky of all this in aggregate, but I mean, do we really, you know, what do we really need out of it, right? I might need to search something by, you know, something simple, and having those end users, like you being out with the SWAT team and stuff, makes a big difference to be able to ask those guys, you know, hey, what do you need in real time? This is what's critical to the mission. We love to have all this other stuff when we're sitting back, you know, in the office, which is great, but this is really what we need. So that's what I try and bridge to the different guys in the field. Yeah.
Great.
No.
Yeah, it's been fun, guys, even though it's been from an airport. It's been a blast.
Hey, we made your layover go a little bit quicker, Eric.
Yeah.
And as we were talking earlier, this might be my last podcast ever.
If
the leopard hunt doesn't go well.
This could go viral.
Yeah, well live stream it.
Or we're going to have to do one when he comes back alive.
To make sure. Right. Proof of life, right?
Proof of life.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Hey, enjoy, man. Enjoy, and thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, guys. Have fun, Wayne, and it'll be good to debrief, you know, next when I get back. I'll give you a ring.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep.
Safe travels.
Yep.
See, you worried about getting excited. You get excited. I saw that.
Yeah.
You get fired up there, man.
You know, it's funny because before I was, in law enforcement and stuff, I was a computer programmer, you know. So it's like I just really enjoyed that. Good long history of it. I never really let it go despite the technology changing over the years. And back in the day, it was all computer-based stuff. Now we got these mobile devices and iPads and everything else that's out there. You know, I love them both equally. I mean, I really do love the natural resources. I love technology, and I love when those two things can merge and, you know, kind of feed both passions. So for me, the natural resource protection is super important. You know, why not use every tool that we have? You know, I mean, we got the gun, we train twice a year, we qualify, we do all that other stuff. Okay, here's handcuffing, defensive tactics, but you know, what a great tool. And it's nice to know that there's companies out there that are investing in our platform.
Yeah.
So that's what
the companies that hunt and fish and enjoy the outdoors.
Yes.
It's got to be important it's important to me to know what that backstory is, that New Hampshire, you know, Ohio, Mississippi has all this front end. What runs the back end? It's Sovereign Sportsman Solutions. And this is why they do it, because he had a passion for tech and he had a passion for the outdoors. And that's why he's in this venue and he wants to make it to happen. I just think that's really important in the long run.
Yeah. And so it's funny too, because him having that outdoor passion, we're not just grabbing an off the shelf product, right? I mean, you know, so we can do all this, you know, let's take Microsoft Word and create a database. You know, we're actually taking the end user off the shelf and we're building the model around that, as opposed to a model. And then we're trying to fit our pieces into it. So it's nice to have somebody that has that outdoor experience and the expertise, and then also the passion too for the end user. So that's key for us.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really cool. And you explain it to the field guy on how to use it, he sees the benefit of that.
Right.
I think we're all, I mean, as a lieutenant, I always said, I'd rather forget my gun at home than my cell phone. You know?
You need them both, but yes. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if I had to lose one or the other, I'd leave the gun at home, because that cell phone is just priceless. You know, I may need that gun, but I definitely need that cell phone.
Yeah.
No, very, very cool conversation. And rather than branching into a lot lot of other tech stuff. I think we're, you know, we're going to seal this right up here, Steve,
sounds
because
good.
I think it was a good conversation on that technology platforms that we're all using it, whether regardless whether what company's running it.
Yeah.
I think everybody's moving to that. So
yeah, for sure.
But we have a lot more discussions on a lot more technology that's out there. So you might be a regular here on the Warden's Watch podcast.
If you could handle it, I'll talk terabytes all day long.
Oh boy, I don't know if I can talk terabytes all day long, but we'll do the connecting
for sure.
Yeah, because the articles are awesome. I mean, you're definitely making that connection. I mean, I mentioned the cell phones, you know, the imaging cell phones that send our cameras, trail cameras that are going right to your cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the apps that the guys can use on their cell phone for, you know, getting more information. The geo fencing that you just wrote an article on. I mean, there's so much out there, and it's expanding so quickly to keep people up to date and how they can enhance their investigations and things like that. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of cost-saving things that you could do that put in place.
Mm.
I just am passionate about the technology, but great exchange of information here. You know,
yeah.
It looked good and stuff. It felt good with, I love, again, that talking to the techie people and stuff, and then just sharing our passion, right, for the natural resources, for even sharing this information with your listeners too, right? So this is just another way to share with folks to say, hey, you know what, there's something out there that can make your job a little bit easier, be more efficient when you're out in the field, and then, you know, invest in that natural resource, which is so important to all of us.
And they want to know how to make your job easier too.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
How you're out there, and it sounds like they are. That QR code stuff was amazing.
I know, like, I'm going to have to Google all of it now.
You're going to check a license, and you just scan it, and there's all their information right there.
Yeah.
And download. I mean, I was fascinated with that. I was just like, that's pretty inundated. And the ship stuff, too. I have a QR code on the side of a ship that you're going to scan from a distance.
It's RFID, not QR. And the QR code, so
okay,
that's where the geek's coming in on
okay,
me, right?
So tell me the difference. I was thinking a QR code on the bow.
No, so he's saying the QR stuff, you know, that's all offline. So basically, you know, it can dump in and, you know, you don't have the connectivity, but it's something that you can compare to a local database that you maybe have on your phone. The RFID is just a wireless thing that you could come up in your phone with it, just communicate with the app on their phone to, you know, to get some information to say, oh yeah, this person's validated with this. So just like I could maybe airdrop you a photo
or
these other things, you know, if you ever pull into a place or something and you get a quick ad, it says, you know, blah, blah, blah for this, you know, here's a coupon. It knows, you know, based upon where you're at. So
in proximity to the vessel,
it's proximity and communication and that type of stuff. The tons of little micro conversations that your phone is having with other devices on a daily basis. And that's where we get to the geofencing and all that other good stuff. So we'll pick it up on another tide there.
Absolutely, yeah. Steve.
I'll overload you. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us and interpreting of it. So,
no problem.
And again, thanks to Sovereign Sportsman Solutions for supporting Warden's Watch here at the conference.
Yeah, so. Good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.